These are the last days, according to the Bible. In Hebrews, the very first verse of that book, the apostle says, "In times past and long ago, God spoke to our forefathers and the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, to whom he made the world, and he is appointed heir of all things." During these 4 weeks in June, I'm going to preach about the end times, for I believe we're entering into the end times of the last days. The last days have existed from the time that Jesus walked with us on the earth. It began with his birth, his ministry, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and they have existed to this day nearly 2,000 years. But there are the end times of the last days, to which I believe we're getting very close. I'm not about times and seasons and charts and graphs. I can't figure that out. My pencil isn't sharp enough. I don't know. Generally, we can find out some things that are going to happen. But Jesus asked us to be ready for the end times. That was his message. That's what he said to his apostles. You be ready. And he gave parables and examples and all these things about talents and about oil in your lamp and about the sheep and the goats. And all these things are about being ready for his return. So I'm going to read a passage in Revelation 11 and 12. It is of John's revelation, his vision. And he gives us first a vision of heaven, a great worship service, and the scroll with the seven seals. And as these seven seals are broken, the will of God becomes known. And what is going to happen in the earth in the end times is laid out for everyone to see. And then it switches back to earth. Meanwhile, on earth, this is happening. And there is a story about Mary and her child. And that becomes the story, sort of a metaphor for the story of the earth. And what's going on earth while everything in heaven is being prepared. And I'm going to start reading where all of heaven is prepared like a great army. And they're poised on the brink to bring the judgment of God into the world. And I want to start with chapter 11 and then chapter 12. "We give you thanks, O Lord God." This is the praise of heaven. Together, everybody together. "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. The time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened. And the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the heaven and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and the angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, for there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and the angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accusers of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. For this reason, rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he is only a short time. And when the dragon saw he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a times from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with a flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. A metaphor of the history of the church and a prophecy that synchronizes what happens in heaven and on earth in this revelation of John. I want to speak not about events. A lot of this is so mysterious and very metaphorical. I don't understand a lot of it, and I haven't talked to many people who do. But I want to talk about the servants of Jesus Christ in the last days. What he expects of us, if we are indeed in the last time, end times of the last days, whether we are young, old, whatever our situation is, because it says that he came to reward all those, great and small, who fear his name. So I have several observations about how we should live in the end times of the last days. The first is, your first fill-in, is fear God only. Fear God only. It says, the nations were enraged and your wrath came. The time for the dead to be judged and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the great and the small, to destroy those who destroy the earth. You know, it's not fashionable to speak in these days to people in these terms of the fear of God. We don't like to talk about that or think about that. We only want to think of God as being the God of love, which he is the God of love, but he's also the God of justice. We like to speak of fear of God as being respect or reverence. But, you know, Jesus put it in a little bit different way than that. This is what he said in Matthew. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that word he used in there is Gehenna. It's not Hades, the grave, the abode of the dead, but he speaks of Gehenna, the trash dump, where there's continual fires burning and stench and smoke, and it never ends. He's speaking of hell, eternal punishment. And Jesus says, don't fear the people who can just kill you, and they can't destroy your soul. But you must fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, those are Jesus' words, not my words. If you want something interesting sometime, do a study of the fear of God, just with a concordance or something, through the Bible, through the Old Testament. Joseph told his brothers, do this and live what I tell you. Do what I tell you and live, for I fear God. Abraham, when he was so afraid, when he came into the region of King Abimelech, when he tried to justify his actions, he said, these people have no fear of God. These people have no fear of God in their eyes. You know, I see this so much as a pastor and also as working with the community as I do now. People do not have the fear of God. God said, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. In fact, you shouldn't even covet what they possess in any way, for it will lead to the other crimes. I am the God who looks inside your heart. See, we don't fear God. There's not the fear of God in people's place. The great story of the early church is Polycarp. Polycarp was a bishop of Smyrna. He might have been one of those stars that are in Revelation, one of those seven stars. He might have been one of those, we don't know, those ones who were the angels of the seven churches and one at Smyrna. Jesus warned them that they would face persecution, and they did. They went looking for Polycarp as they were having the games. He was 86 years old, and he had been their pastor in that church since he was a very young man. They were having a general persecution of the Christians in Smyrna, and they were having the games, and they were feeding them to the lions, burning them at the stake. And so the crowd began chanting, "We want Polycarp. We want Polycarp. We want Polycarp." The people who were with Polycarp says, "We've got to hide this man. We can't give him up to this." So they arranged for him to run, and they took him out. They sent armed men after him. After he had dodged them a couple of places, he finally said, I'm not running anymore. And they tortured one of his young men to tell them where he was. Young men of the church, he said, I'm not going to be responsible for that. So they came and got him. They roughed him up a little bit. But then they began pleading with him when he got to the master of the games. Deny Christ. It's a small thing. Look, for your life, for your age's sake, the sake of your age, you're an elderly, respectable man. Just a little pinch of incense to Caesar. It's not much. Polycarp refused. He said, I'll feed you to the lions. He said, bring them on. He said, don't you know that I have the power to burn you at the stake? And this was Polycarp's answer. You threaten me with a fire that lasts for a little while because you do not have knowledge of the fire that burns eternally. I fear God more than I fear you. I fear God more than I fear the lions. I fear God more than I fear the stake. True story, witnessed by many people of the Church of Smyrna, and save for us. God will reward those who fear his name, the great and the small, and to destroy those who do not. The second thing I see here is speak truth always. Speak truth always. It says this, they overcame him, that is the dragon, because of the blood of the Lamb and because the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even when faced with death. Now, I've gotten very interested in the oaths of the knights of the medieval times. There is a story called The Kingdom of Heaven. It's a story of the Crusades. And in this, a man who his name is Balian, he was the final defender of Jerusalem. When Saladin came and conquered Jerusalem, he was the one who saved the people of the city and gave the city up to Saladin in order to save their lives. He took the oath of a knight in this story from his father. And the whole story is about how he actually tried to live up to this oath and how he saved the people. I just want to read it for you here. He knelt before his father and he repeated and he heard these words. Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Be brave and upright that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless and do no wrong. This is your oath. And he gave him the back of his hand like that, brought the blood. And he said, that's so you'll remember it. Arise, knight. See, the spoken truth is our weapon against the dragon, Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. We will be hated, hunted, and killed for the truthful words of the gospel. It's in the Bible. It will be so. For repeating the words of Jesus, for repeating his words of hope, for words of condemnation for sin, and for biblical virtues expressed as a spoken word. Folks, we live and are governed by a body of lies. They hate the truth. You know, there's a prophecy that Jesus had I used to think was a supernatural thing. I thought this was something God was going to do with his angels and that this would be accomplished supernaturally. But in these last days, I understand it's what people do. This is what Jesus said. There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed. And what is hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, what you have said and whispered in the dark will be shouted from the rooftops. And what is whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Soon, all of our words will be known to the authorities. I just got a deal the other day. I have an antivirus on my computer. Sent out a notice to everyone to be aware of a virus called Blackshades. Anybody know about this virus? It's called Blackshades. Get in your computer. It's a way of hacking into the computer. It's called the Remote Access Trojan Virus. RATS. It's called RAT. And it really is ratty. What it does is it allows people to break into your computer or your cell phone or your tablet, turn on the camera, spy on you, listen to you, wherever that is, to take information passwords, account numbers, all that. They arrested, with the FBI and other foreign authorities, over 90 people who were using this to hack into people's computers. They had purchased the program online. Guess how much the program cost? $40. The people who were charged with keeping us safe, called a security agency, have known about this for a couple of years and did not tell anybody why, because they were using it against us. I'm just telling you the facts, while all the time denying that nothing like this is even possible. Guard your words, folks. I'm talking from young to old, because they hate the truth. Before long, they're going to be seeking out the truth speakers. It is up to us to speak truth always, no matter what the consequence. Speak truth. I don't mean just being one of those brutal people that just tell everybody what you think. That's not it. Speak the truth of Jesus. Speak the simple truth, the facts. They're not your facts and their facts and their facts. There's only one fact. That comes from the Latin word factum, which means that which was done, what happened. There's only one set of facts. There can't be other facts. We speak the simple truth. Our system of justice is breaking down because people don't have respect for the truth, the simple truth, and the truth about God and the testimony of Jesus. I want to tell you, I'm a fine one to talk. I've got a situation going on now in my life. The Lord has beaten me up. I won't even tell you what it is, but I got to tell you, it's because I'm afraid to speak the truth when I had the chance. So I've got to repair that some way, and God is helping me some way to do that as his servant. I'm a fine one to talk. And so preparing this sermon, God talked to me. You didn't speak the truth. You didn't speak truth to authority. Are you going to ask people to do that, to speak truth to authority? You won't do it. So I have to confess to you, friends, that I need to repair my life to live in these end times, these last days, to fear God only and to always speak the truth, no matter what the consequences will be. This is how I believe God wants us to live in these end times. The third thing I see in here is stay on message. Stay on message. It says, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. I believe it's speaking of the church now. He's enraged at this church and he goes off to make war with the rest of her children. That's us who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Hold to his testimony. Stay on message. We get distracted by so many things that we think are so important. I have a Bible study that I meet with 6 a.m. on Wednesday and Thursday. It's the same study both days, but we have both days to accommodate people. I have a Catholic deacon in there. I have a Lutheran administrator from their headquarters down here at the Missouri Synod that comes pretty regularly. I have Pentecostals, Baptists, Nazarenes, even have some Mennonite influence. And what are we doing? We're staying on this message. I don't care what the church is. We don't want to get distracted with all these things that divide us. We're staying on this message. We're followers of Jesus Christ according to his word. And how can we live that way? And how can we help each other to live that way? And how can we live a holy life? How can we have the Spirit of God in our lives and his Holy Spirit directing us? We got to stay on that message. And it's my conviction, and I tell them in this, we've got a lot of different things, and we're not going to go to each other's church. We're just forgetting about that, trying to get someone to go to your church. This is what we know. If we don't hang together, we're going to all hang separately. We have to hang together in these days and stay on the message of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the only hope for this world. Speak truth, fear God. Stay on message. Here is our message. Jesus is the only way to God. There's hope of eternal life in him only. Without him, there is eternal punishment in hell. And with him, there is the reward of heaven. Here is our testimony. God has forgiven my sins in Jesus. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit and given me life and given me the grace to live a holy life as he commands of his servants. And here is our confession. Jesus is my King and I will serve no other. So if I could give you a charge, kind of like that oath of the night, we don't do oaths, but I can give you a charge. This is the charge I would give you. Be without fear in the face of your enemy, the devil. Be brave and upright that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless. Do no wrong. Hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is our charge. Father, I thank you for your beautiful word. I believe you, Lord. I believe that we will face these things that your servants are shown facing in this book, this revelation you gave to your servant John. Help me to live without fear of the enemy, but to fear you only. Help me, O Lord, give me courage to speak the truth and keep the message of Jesus alive in me. And may your grace be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.